Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golick Jr. and Jason Fitz hanging out with us for the rest of the show here, filling in for Jhené Egwumike. Fitz just getting tapped in from the bullpen here right now. You guys normally hear him 7 to 9 Eastern co-hosting Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio. What's up, Fitzy?
Mike, what day is it? Hump day! Oh, I just had to do that. Wanted to do that on Wednesday.
You didn't have to.
I did.
No
I
one like required you to
felt like
do
you
that.
Needed it. Like, you needed a little pick. Like, this is vintage 80s tag team wrestling. I'm the partner that's been in the corner waiting a long time. You just slapped me in, and now all of a sudden I'm coming in, and I'm doing all the moves, and I'm jumping everywhere, and I'm running around giving the crowd the energy.
Woo! My God. I say, Jason Fitz, for anyone unaware, he spent a long time working in the music industry and country music with the band Perry. Jason, I have to imagine, like, when you're first starting off, because, like, everyone I'd imagine does shows where they're part of the opening act, they're going out there to get the crowd hype here. I got to imagine you were a unique asset in that.
Well, you know, it's a gift and a curse all at once. No, there is nothing worse than, like, especially when you think you've made it to the big time and you're on, like, a big, like, one of the first tours we did was Brad Paisley and Darius Rucker, and, like, everybody's on this tour, right? And we're, like, the early act, and if I Die Young had just come out, and you come out, and you're so excited because you think, man, we're going to play in front of 30,000 people, and then you realize you're on it, like, 5:30 in the afternoon, and it's still sunny out, and nobody's sitting in the seats, and nobody knows any of the words. Oh, it is! It's an interesting reminder who they pay to see, Mike. It is, you know, they're here to see you, buddy. I'm just coming in, woo, giving you the energy and enforcement.
My God! Well, we're thankful for that much in all of this, Jason. Man, maybe listen. I don't even know if people want to hear me all that much, but. I have to quote the Wedding Singer, I have the microphone and you don't. So you will listen to every word that I have to say. And then you can listen to the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio tonight. Game 4 is Bobby Portis and the Bucks host Jay Crowder and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And listen, Jason, some of us are Pat Connaughton and some of us are Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Like, we all got to know our lot in life in this game, but I have been surprised to that end, Jason, as we talk about the Bucks and look forward toward tonight's game. We kind of just treat Giannis like a sure thing now, right? Are you shocked at all that through three games of the NBA Finals now, granted, they've been spectacular, but we don't seem to bring up any of those concerns that we had about Giannis's game that were rifled throughout the regular season, throughout past postseasons, and hell, throughout earlier in this playoff run?
Yeah, I think part of that is because Giannis has done so much, and I don't want to ever take anything away from the performance he's had. But something that we've talked about, and, you know, Sarah Spain and I have talked about together on Spain and Fitz, is that there are moments for Giannis where, just because he's so likable, I feel like he's viewed through a different prism. And so what we see is tremendous production, and we've just all bought in that Giannis is going to be this, and through all of his limitations that he may or may not have, we even laugh about it. Like, he laughs in these videos about his inability to shoot from outside. We laugh about his inability to shoot from outside. And as long as he continues to put up 40-plus points, I'm not sure how we critique that. I mean, if you are one-dimensional, but they know that one dimension, and you can still go into the finals and give 40 points a game, I think there's a little bit of shut the hell up to everybody that thinks that that's a problem.
It is a classic tactic. Jason, you know this and often say that you grew up a fat kid playing the violin. I grew up a fat kid playing sports, so we were not that far apart in that advantage point. And what do you do when you're a fat kid with overcoming those obstacles? You say it before other people can, and you take the wind out from their sails. And so that was interesting to me, listening to Giannis talking about the wall. We've heard so much about the way people have gone about trying to stop Giannis, and as you mentioned, he's very forthright about the way everyone sees his game. Listen to him talking about the Suns' defense in the finals.
The first time I saw the wall was probably 2 years ago, but like I was always a capable passer, you know, before that. It's something that I always liked to do, and I had the, you know, coaches and people throughout my career that helped me with, like, finding the right guy, finding the right pass, and make the right play. But, like, once I started seeing the wall 2 years ago, now it's about, you know, trust. And it's kind of hard, like, you know, because you want to be effective, you want to get downhill, you want to do everything, but now you also, and you take it personal also, like, there's a team that's building a wall of three people and two guys behind or whatever the case might be and trying to stop you, and now you have to not take it personal and make the right play, find the right guy. I feel like I did that better since 2 years I go, now I'm doing it better. Like, I'm trusting my teammates. I'm finding guys. But I was always a capable passer before the wall was created, which is funny that there's a defense out there called the Giannis wall. It's funny to me.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jason Fitz, and forgetting that Giannis feels like they invented the wall just to stop him, which is kind of funny to me. Jason, are we at the point now where we think Giannis has figured something out, or is this just a less capable defensive team that he's going up against?
So I think there's he's hot, and I think that's got to be an easy part of it. I'm not sure they're less capable. It's just feels like a bad matchup in that sense. Like, it's tough to match up against Giannis. I'm not sure that they really have the bodies that can slow him down. But the other part of it is, unfortunately for the Bucks, success and failure isn't going to be it. But Giannis can get fed all day long. As he mentioned when he was talking about going against that wall, the question is, the more help that they have to bring in for Giannis, what opportunity does that present for everybody else on this team? And can the everybody else take advantage of those opportunities? They flat out didn't game one and game two. They did in game three. I think they will in game four. But realistically, until all of this that we're talking about for Giannis creates the mismatch that gives openings to Middleton and Jrue Holiday, can those guys do the best with that? Can Pat Connaughton continually be consistent in the matchups he's getting? That's the real key to the series, because Giannis is so dominant.
Well, so do you think Giannis has to score like 40-plus again? Do we have to be where this has to be him night in and night out for them to have a chance to win?
I think so, only because if he's not dominant and they don't have to help him as much, if he's having a night where he's off, then now all of a sudden it gets even tougher for everybody else. So I think he's in that spot where he has to be somewhere in the mid-30s and up, in that range for them to have the attention that they would have to draw. Don't you?
Yeah, well, I think this is a case of how and not how many, right? Like, it has to look the same as it has for Giannis in the first three games, even if the output is not like pacing the finals and in a category that only four guys have been at as far as his output. But it's got to be that same level of impact, because for me, Jason, you're right. I don't know if I can count on Jrue Holiday to do that again. Like, Jrue Holiday going 50% from three and starting early in that game in game three against the Suns. This postseason has taught me I can't trust that game in and game out. As much as I like Jrue Holiday, seems like a great player defensively, his impact's been felt there. I don't know if I can trust him to win this one game in and game out. I don't know if I can always count on a, co-superstar type 30-plus point outfit from Chris Middleton here, if it's going to be a Brook Lopez game in this series. So that's the reason to me, because I can't be sure what I'm going to get from everybody else in this spot.
And that's the most maddening thing about the story of the Bucks this season that will eventually be told, as champions or not, is that when Middleton and Holiday can take advantage of the opportunities they get because of Giannis's dominance, the Bucks look wholly unbeatable, right? But the problem is they'll do that for a game here, a game there, and then all of a sudden be gone. Like, it's not that long ago that we were having the conversation of Chris Middleton being the real Batman, right? So, like, that's how good he's been at times, which only makes it maddening when he's not capable of performing to that high of a level consistently every single night. Like, when we're justifying their greatness because of everything they're doing other than scoring points, it tells you that, frankly, the guys aren't doing what they need to do, which is take some of the pressure off of Giannis.
Which is fascinating, because that goes all the way back to the conversation we've had about Giannis since before he signed his extension before the season, is have they put enough around him, right? Like, this is a great opportunity. We know this has been a volatile postseason full of injury, and a lot of us looked at this and says, this is a great chance for the Bucks here. They came into this series where I picked the Suns in seven, and a large portion of that was because I wasn't sure how long it was going to take Giannis to recover from that injury here. Now, in three games, we seem to have erased a lot of the doubt in there, and who knows if game four will prove us wrong in there. But coming up next, I think the biggest reason that I think we got to continue to look towards Giannis for these kind of insane performances is because I'm counting on the bounce back from one particular player heading into game four tonight. We'll tell you who that player is next. Here, Chenan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Jason Fitz here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is good. We have Jason Fitz on with us today on Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. He's filling in for Chinay Igwumike here. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. Jason Fitz is our resident expert of being old. And don't let Jason fool you. He's like a vampire. If you've ever seen him around here on ESPN Radio, on ESPN Digital, any of those platforms around College Game Day as well, Jason might look young, but Jason is 44 years old. Sneaky. He's like a vampire.
Yeah.
Jason, I don't know how to feel about this. I do know how to feel. I feel great, and I am amped. But I just got the notification from the Notre Dame Alumni Association to mark my calendar, my 10-year reunion coming up this next spring here. I know this is supposed to be one of those spots where I'm reminded that I'm aging in the passage of time. I am just amped to get back there because... Jason, does Juilliard have reunions? How does that work? Do you go back and drink with the low wind section or the brass? How does that work?
Wow. No, there wasn't enough camaraderie for that to happen. Like, I will ask you, is there because I've never even gone to a high school reunion in my life, but fact is, I feel like Facebook, for better or for worse, kind of keeps everybody in touch that you want to be in touch with. Like, is there a moment for you where, you've already had all the updates on who has babies and who doesn't and, who's happy? So, do you still go?
Yeah, because the one thing I have realized is when you have friends that have kids, group gatherings become a lot harder. Finding a babysitter, being able to plan for vacations when everyone else has their own stuff. Reunions, like a nice meet in the middle. Notre Dame, we're all weirdos. We like flocking back to there anyway. So, Jason, all this does is get the people that I do like and stay in touch with together in one spot and make sure that they'll have babysitters available so mom and dad can go drink with me.
So you're basically trying to help responsible adults make bad decisions. I can attest to this. You're good at that. It seems like a gift.
That's the Uncle Mike gene, right? Like I've talked about, I've sent pictures out about me hanging out with all my friends' kids. It's awesome. I get to be Uncle Mike here. But that's supposed to be the uncle's job in life, right? To help people make bad decisions.
I thought the uncle's job was to spoil the kid and maybe, take a little pressure off the parents every once in a while. Like you're out there slipping them Jaeger and just hoping things get weird.
Wow. All right. Listen, hope things get weird. All right here. Let's not get that irresponsible with all of this here. Trying to show everyone a good time, not ruin their lives. Now,
sure. I've seen the way you eat and drink, so I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, all I know is I am amped for this one right now. At Mike Golick Jr., at Jason Fitz on Twitter. Are people excited to go back for reunions, whether it's high school or college? And 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, best or worst reunion story. Can be high school, can be college here. I need answers about how I should be feeling heading into this 10-year reunion. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Now, Jason, we talked about the Bucks angle of game four tonight heading into this matchup here. And the biggest reason I think they've got to count on Giannis, maybe it's not 40 points, but it's got to feel the same way. I said it's the how, not how many for Giannis tonight. Because, Jason, I feel like Devin Booker's ready to go off, right? Like, game threes, for whatever reason for him in this postseason, when you look at his averages, he's averaging about 10 points per game less in game threes that for the Suns have all been the first game on the road. So how confident are you in him bouncing back in game four tonight, Jason?
Yeah, I think that's an important point, that he's struggled every time they've had the first road game. And then you got to look at what happens the next game. And fact is, he plays incredibly well. So they're 9-2 in those games, nine of those games coming on the road this year when he comes back from a poor shooting night. So you look at what he's done in the bounce back game after game three, he's always been good. So yeah, I think we get a different level of Devin Booker, and we have to remind ourselves that Devin Booker has become such an overnight sensation that there's still sort of levels to the journey for most players. So, I can look at Devin Booker and say first road game in the finals, didn't have the best shooting night. I don't think that's some indication of who he is as a player. B, I think that there's no reason not to think he'll bounce back, because that's what he's done, and that will only continue to grow the legend of Devin Booker, which is growing so quickly right now.
Well, and it's growing quickly because you've got fertile soil there, right? Like, if you want to grow crops, you got to till the soil first, and he has got two, I'll continue the analogy here, for some reason I got really into farming right here. He's got two great farmers. Hey, because when everyone looks at me, they think Farmer Mike here. I do own overalls, though. For for what it's worth.
I mean, sure as hell think farmer be with you before they do with me. Like, I don't even go camping. I go clamping. There's no farming in me. Like, unless it's a video game version, I'm not out there shucking my own corn.
That is true. You would play Farmville on Facebook with my grandmother, but you would not farm actually in real life. But the reason I bring up farmers is because you got a star like him that's able to grow because you got leadership in the right spots, right? You got the locker room leader in Chris Paul, and you got a leader in Monty Williams that's going to give him shelter in these spots. Like, Jason, when as a young player coming in, you look to leadership early and often. Even if you're talented here, and I've been around plenty of teams with incredibly talented young players, but there's always some deference to the guys that have experience in a lot of these areas, right? The guys that have been through it before. And when you've got leaders that know the right buttons to push, and this is Monty Williams here, coach of the Phoenix Suns, that was on the NBA on ESPN Radio, he put it on him in Game 3. Like, these are always what we talk about. Coaches that send messages publicly to the media, to everyone else, but also their players, when you hear Monty Williams saying that it was coaching decisions that hurt Booker and Paul in Game 3.
We did something as a staff that probably hurt Chris. We were trying to set screens at half court to try to manipulate their defense, and that slowed us down. When we looked at the third quarter, the ability to use the hit-ahead pass, the kick-ahead pass, really helped us with our pace, and we mixed in some zone and got some stops, but we were getting the ball down the floor before they could get down the floor. I think to help Chris and Book, we got to play with the kind of pace that we played with all year long, get the ball down the floor, flatten out the defense, and then we can get into our offensive package.
Jason, I'd imagine it was similar for you with the band, but for me as a player, all I ever wanted, whether it was another one of my teammates when we were in the O-line meeting room, whether it was a coach standing up in front of all of us, was, hey, if you make a mistake in this process, be accountable to me, because that trickles down. When the best players on the team, when the coaches stand up in front of the room like that and show everyone, hey, when I err, I'm going to own it in private, in public, that sends a message that if you're a player like Devin Booker, allows you to go out and have a game like this.
Yeah, I think that speaks to knowing the right buttons to push to. And one of the things that's more impressive that we haven't given a lot of coverage to in general is the lack of finals experience in this series from both sides of it. When I think about sort of those moments, the lack of, hey, I've been here before, I know how to walk you through that, then it takes great coaching and communication. If you don't have a been there, done that, then you better have at least some pulse of the team. And Monty Williams showing he has that there in so many ways. And really, that's going to be part of the legend here for Chris Paul and for Monty Williams, is the way that this team grew so quickly into what, you know, could be a juggernaut and got to here because of their leadership. So absolutely.
Yeah, I think what we've seen so far this postseason, we've talked so much about stars that have made the turn, young players that have gotten after things here. I think in this finals, we've seen two things. One, the competitive drive of Giannis Antetokounmpo showing up on the sideline, showing up on the court here. He has been letting everyone know how much this means to him. And Monty Williams on the other side here, who's overcome so much off the court in his personal life, the coaching job he's done this year, and what he has publicly shown everyone here, the understanding he has of this team, those are two absolutes that are going to come out of this postseason. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, in honor of me just getting the notice about my 10-year reunion coming up at Notre Dame here. Best and worst reunion stories from high school, from college, that you've encountered. What do I need to be ready for? But coming up next, we'll also look at some of the uncertainty in this NBA offseason. One of the biggest stars in the league has a future that looks a little bit cloudier. We'll try and clear it up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Loads toward the basket and stuffs with two hands. They can't stop Giannis tonight.
And goes for 41 points, a second straight 40-point finals
game. I'm not Michael Jordan. You know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all.
What's the future for Kawhi Leonard in Los Angeles? ACL surgery for one of the best players in the league? Now leaves the future in doubt. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz filling in for Jhené Egbuemeke. Before we get some answers on that one, we wanted to head to the Goodyear Hotline, because I told Jason last segment, I just got the notification from the Notre Dame Alumni Association to sign up for a spot at the 10-year reunion coming up here. And Jason, I know you said you don't have a reunion story. You haven't been back to any here that wasn't high school. Juilliard apparently doesn't do that, which is surprising to me. No, I thought you guys would get together, play some songs. It'd be great.
I feel like I could be your plus one, though. You know, like maybe I'll go back to Notre Dame with you and like hike guy, wear the little leprechaun outfit.
I guess, honestly, Jason, you'd make a fantastic leprechaun. I can't Thank even you. Front on that. Huh? You'd be an outstanding mascot. But since Jason can't prepare me, I want to try and get a gauge of what I should expect at this 10-year reunion. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. I want to hear best or worst reunion stories. Let's go to Zach in Spokane. Zach, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's your reunion story?
Hello?
Zach, you got you?
Yeah, I got you. Sorry, I'm driving through a mountain pass right now. So, can you hear me?
We got you, Zach. What's your reunion story?
All right, so my 10-year reunion, we all decided to rent out a bar, which turned out to be an absolutely terrible idea. We all got kicked out, all 200 of us.
Oh, my God.
Wow. All right,
you know what? That sounds like goals, actually, Zach. We appreciate the call. Have a safe drive through the rest of this. Jason, I told you, I think we pretty much drained Notre Dame's campus of alcohol, and we were there for my 5 years, so Kevin seems like a new goal in this now. Zach, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm stunned to think, you guys can get that done, though, Mike. If anybody can do it, you can do it, especially with me as your plus one.
My God, you're really going to try and weasel your way into this. Let's get this thing back on the rails here and talk to our ESPN NBA writer, Kevin Pelton, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline now. Kevin's got a great piece up on Kawhi Leonard. And Kevin, we appreciate the time here. Kawhi Leonard now getting this surgery here. So let's start with the possible injury timetable here. How bad was the injury? What are we thinking as far as recovery time for Kawhi right now?
You know, it's a little tough to say because we don't have a lot of precedence for these sort of partial ACL tears, as this was described, that still require surgery. But, you know, the most recent ones that have happened before this past year, because Spencer Dinwiddie, of course, we had, you know, back in December, and also Thomas Bryant. And Dinwiddie was cleared to resume basketball activities in June. So that was like 6 months after he first suffered the injury. But the previous two players to have it and return, Rajon Rondo and Tony Roten, it was 11 months to a year. So similar to the same timetable as a full ACL tear. And that would obviously be a big concern because that wouldn't put his return until next year's playoffs, if at all. If it's closer to that 6 months timetable, then maybe we see him back midseason, which certainly would be welcome news for the Clippers or wherever he's playing, as we're about to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, that's the real question. What's all this mean for his future with the Clippers?
I don't think it affects anything too much. I mean, we have the precedent, Kevin Durant suffering the Achilles rupture, immediately signing a max contract with the Nets, and going on to look like vintage Kevin Durant when he came back this season. The Nets would do that deal again 100 times out of 100. So, you know, especially this year's market is low on star talent as it is. Kawhi's still going to be the top guy out there if he does decide to decline his player option. But there are some scenarios where it might make more sense for him to pick up that player option and then extend his contract, get an extra guaranteed year, as opposed to what he could get opting out and re-signing with the Clippers.
Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, talking to our ESPN NBA writer, Kevin Pelton. And so let's walk with that scenario for a second. Let's say Kawhi picks up that option here, rides out this next season with them, depending on whether or not he does come back. How do the Clippers handle things from their end in this?
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky offseason for them. They've got, you know, only probably their taxpayer mid-level exception available, and got to try to re-sign Reggie Jackson and Nikola Batum, who were both big parts of this playoff run for them. Jackson, they can re-sign for more than that using early bird rights, but limited to about $10 million as the starting salary. So if someone, you know, was out there really impressed by Jackson being probably the second best player on the Clippers after Kawhi went down in that run, and, you know, them going 500 after Kawhi's injury, it's possible someone could come in with a bigger offer, although, you know, Jackson probably wants to stay in L.A. He's got a nice situation there. The good news is we saw in the playoffs they've got a lot of wing depth. If they can re-sign Batum and Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann stepped into a big role. And obviously in Paul George, this is part of the idea, you have that second star. So even when Kawhi is unavailable, you've still got a star to build around.
But Kevin, if everything breaks their way, and let's say the injury isn't bad with recovery, everything goes the Clippers' way, is what you described good enough to make them a championship team?
I think it potentially is. I mean, you know, if Kawhi had stayed healthy, I think that the Clippers would have had every opportunity to beat the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, as well as Phoenix has played in the playoffs. They seem to have figured something out in that Utah series, similar to what they did against Dallas with that small lineup. And even without Kawhi, we saw the small lineup give the Suns some problems in Game 5. So, you know, I think this group is championship caliber. Now, the one complication is, depending how much of the regular season he does miss, you know, are you having to fight your way in through the play-in tournament like the Lakers did this year, or are you able to get into one of those top 5-6 seeds and have a relatively more comfortable path if he's back for the playoffs? A
lot of questions that still have to be answered, but Kevin Pelton, our ESPN senior writer, goes a long way in trying that. You can check out the article on ESPN.com, on ESPN Plus, what Kawhi Leonard's ACL surgery does for free agency, for the Clippers, and more. Kevin, we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the reunion.
Thanks, Kevin.
There we go. Kevin Pelton. Maybe he'll be my plus one heading back to the reunion.
Wait. I'll bring a megaphone with me.
Accomplished guy here. Can kick it with all my friends. Give him a bunch of great NBA information. He seems like he might be in pole position right now.
Leprechaun outfit and a fiddle, and I'll play you into the room as you come in.
Ooh, all right, Jason. See, now we're talking here. To be my plus one. All right. Jason, we'll see if you can sweeten the deal as we go along here. And 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, best and worst college or high school reunion stories, since I got to get ready to try and figure out how the hell I'm going to stunt at my 10-year reunion at Notre Dame. But coming up next, we got a big opportunity to stunt tonight. The WNBA All-Star Game is going to kick off tonight. What we can expect, what about the format, and where do we go from here? Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz here with you guys. Hopefully getting ready to talk to Angel McCautry, two-time Olympic gold medalist, star for the Las Vegas Aces, who unfortunately not playing on the court right now, sidelined this season with an ACL injury, but been a great addition to our coverage here at ESPN covering the WNBA. And Fitz, we actually had this pretty cool moment with Angel not too long ago, where our good friend Monica McNutt and Andrea Carter presented her with her literal flowers during part of their coverage. Take a listen and take a watch of this clip.
Since it's year 25, we just want to take a moment and give some literal flowers to a two-time gold medalist.
Oh, my God.
A terrific defensive two-way player, an outstanding and emerging analyst in this space. Of course, we wish you a complete and whole recovery, but we love that you're coming to hang out with us. We're having so much
fun. Guys, thank you. And don't make me cry on camera. My goodness.
Well, that was a pretty cool moment here, and we're delighted now to be joined by Angel McCautry with us here, ESPN WNBA analyst right now, two-time Olympic gold medalist. And Angel, we know, like my co-host usually around here, Chinne Agwumike, you'd rather be playing than be sitting here talking about the sport, but what's the experience been like? How much fun's that been with that crew?
You know what? It's been great. You know, I've been able to get into something new, and, you know, when one door closes, another one opens, so to be able to get into this space has been just the ultimate dream.
Yeah, Angel, I just got to say thanks, first and foremost. Sarah Spain and I have a bet going right now between the Aces and Chicago Sky. I know you're not playing, but still, I think it's all of the juju that's there that the Aces are going to win me this bet. It's the first time I've ever beat Sarah in anything, so I'm going to gloat about that all year, so I appreciate that. When we look at the All-Star game that's coming up, obviously different the format with Team USA taking on the women's All-Star, like, what's the competitiveness like that you're expecting from this game?
You know what? I played in that kind of game a couple years ago. It was Olympic team versus the WNBA All-Stars, and it was competitive. You know, Gino was our coach, and, you know, Gino don't play. You're always going to be competitive when you're playing for Gino. So I do expect these girls to play well, play hard, but still be tame because you don't want anybody to get hurt. So I expect it to definitely be a game, and definitely by the fourth quarter, everybody kind of starts picking it up a little bit and getting kind of serious with it. So I expect it to be a good game tonight.
It's going to be an exciting game. Coverage starts on ESPN at 7 p.m. Angel McCautry going to be a part of that coverage here. Is there anyone you're most excited to see tonight here? We got some new faces involved in all this. We talked about the format, but is there a player you're looking forward to seeing in this?
You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing Jacquel Jones. Like, you know, she's in a three-point contest. She's the only post player in there. I'm looking forward to seeing her. Of course, my teammate, De'Arca Hamby, her first time. It's good to see Liz back. So I'm glad to see those players.
anytime we get to an All-Star game, it's a chance to look forward to what to expect. So when you look at the way the first half of the season has played out for the WNBA, what team do you think is poised to make a big run in the second half?
You know what? I'm liking the way Minnesota is playing right now. They're tough. They're gritty. They're figuring it out, especially with the addition of Caleb McBride. They're on a roll. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them, like, you know, kind of kicking butt at the end of the season.
Hey, listen, Angel, there's no doubt that the second half of the season is going to be very exciting, but we've also got the Olympic break coming up. We've got so much to look forward to. We talked about seeing Team USA out on the court tonight. You've been a two-time Olympic gold medalist. You know this process well, so take us inside that. What's the difficulty of balancing the season, also knowing you've got to get ready for the games coming up in a year like this, especially in Tokyo?
Yeah, you know what? It's really a mind frame of knowing that you are an Olympian. You have to walk like one, talk like one, eat like one. You know, no, I don't think any Olympian has made it because they felt like training so hard or putting their body through so much extensive work, but they did it. So that's the beauty of being an Olympian. So it's more about having that mindset and knowing who you are, going to Tokyo, wearing that name on your chest, and representing your country with pride.
It's going to be incredible to watch. We're all looking forward to this one. I think the format's going to be awesome. I hope other leagues are taking a look at this, potentially involving something like Team USA, getting the country going up against some of the best around the WNBA. Again, coverage of the WNBA All-Star Game going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And Angel McCautry, Vegas Aces star, ESPN WNBA analyst, and two-time Olympic gold medalist, going to be joining everyone on the coverage as she has been throughout this season. Angel, we appreciate you giving us some time. Really looking forward to the game tonight. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very, very soon. And maybe we can get you some flowers next time. I apologize for not coming better prepared.
Thanks, Angel.
Absolutely. It sounds good to me. Thanks for having me, guys.
Awesome stuff from Angel McCautry there. Again, so much experience and information. And a cool moment there, Fitz. Anytime you want to send me flowers, feel free, man.
No, I'm not going to send you flowers, but I am going to gloat over Sarah when I win this bet because, by the way, the Vegas Aces is having a heck of a season. I mean, I'm saying. Finally, I got a team that I root for that may have a real shot at winning. And I don't know what this feels like, Mike, so I can't handle it like I've been there before.
That is true. A team, and I can say Vegas, since your Raiders are there now, actually succeeding at a high level. You'll take that one and run with it, no doubt, Jason. Jason's also been trying to weasel his way into my 10-year reunion that's coming up at Notre Dame. 888-729-3776. We want your best or worst reunion story so I can try and get myself mentally prepared for what's coming up this next summer. Let's go to RG in Ohio. RG, you're on Shanae and Golic Jr. What's your story?
Hey, first of all, you guys sound great. Fitz, good to hear you back. Sounds like the old days overnight. Happy to see
Thanks,
you
man.
Guys connecting.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. Appreciate
yeah, you got it. So, all right. So, old grudges do not die easily, Golic. I went to my 20-year high school reunion. There was a kid in high school, didn't see eye to eye with this kid, and he came up to me after football practice with a baseball bat and proceeded to hit me right in the leg. Didn't feel it. Haven't seen the kid in 20 years. Decided to put on a reunion old man basketball game at the reunion. And, of course, everyone thought it would be funny to have each other guard each other. And we were not happy to see each other. A couple of, you know, cracks to his ribs, maybe a forearm to his face while we were guarding each other down low. Old grudges do not fall easy, and people do not change, Mr. Golic.
Ooh, all right. Great advice from RG. People don't forget. And Jason, listen, you know me. I'm a lover, not a fighter. So I don't know if this is going to be much of an issue here, but I guess I got to sleep with one eye open.
I mean, I don't know, Mike. The question is, what about old crushes? Like, maybe you see somebody that you had a little thing for in college, and, you know, man, ask her up.
God, you're really going to try. And my mom, who is probably listening right now, you're really going to get her hopes up that this is finally going to be the thing that changes things for her eldest son. 888-729-3776.
Well, hibbity-dibbity.
888-SAY-ESPN. Dear God, there's parietals in those dorms. Best and worst reunion stories. We'll get to more of those. And coming up next, as we look forward towards Game 4 of the NBA Finals, while Fitz tries to compose himself after talking about the hibbity-dibbity, we'll let you know which player for the Milwaukee Bucks needs to step up most. Dear God, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.